This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org.
Dr. Nick Bhanatwala, who is the head of the UK's Department of International Health and also a senior lecturer at Imperial College. Welcome, Nick. Can I ask you to start with the first question, and that is, could you please explain to us the key elements of the UK's new global health strategy?
Yes. The UK's global health strategy, called Health is Global, which was launched last October, describes a whole-of-government approach for tackling global health. The Department for International Development, which is our main government department, the equivalent of USAID in the US, responsible for international development, has by far and away the largest amount of resources to dedicate to international aid. But on this occasion, we are recognising that global health has that as a very important component, but many other important components, such as health security, the way that we engage with international organisations, as two additional components, and then the way that we engage on issues around trade and health. So it's a whole-of-government approach. The second thing is a very clear link between health and foreign policy, if you like, health as a tool of foreign policy. And I know that in the US there's been a lot of work that's been done on that, but we've never explicitly recognised that in quite this way before in the UK.
Thanks very much. Could you tell us a little more about the genesis of the strategy, and in particular, what was the impetus to come up with a new approach at this point in time? How did you pull in voices from outside of government to help inform your efforts, particularly from advocacy groups, civil society, maybe even from some of the affected countries that you believe your strategy will be directed towards?
The interesting thing about this particular strategy was that the driver really came from outside government. There were many people who said, here is a really good opportunity for the UK to show some leadership and to describe and articulate what the government's strategy is for tackling the significant challenges of global health. This was actually now many years ago, but as a result of that, our chief medical officer, Sir Liam Donaldson, who sits on the executive board of the World Health Organization, published a paper which set out proposals for such a strategy. That was in 2007. As a result of that, we had a number of stakeholder workshops. We had some in Scotland, in Wales, and in England, where we invited all sorts of representatives of civil society to come together, people from the NHS, people from academia, people from the NGO community, foundations as well, international organisations, and large numbers of government officials from different government departments, from the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, the equivalent of the Department of State, DFID, Ministry of Defence, as well as the Department of Health and other government departments. We also received written submissions. There were also commentaries in medical and health journals such as The Lancet and the British Medical Journal. And as a result of that, we then started to formulate our thoughts. And the way we did that was through a small cross-cutting group of senior officials, which was chaired by the Department of Health, but the overall lead for this whole process was at a ministerial level, again chaired by the Department of Health, but with a number of ministries sitting around the table.
And I believe the strategy is actually framed around 10 principles, the first of which is do no harm. Could you say a few words about what you think the most important principles are that frame the strategy?
You're right, there are 10 principles, and the first one is setting out to do no harm. And there was, of course, some discussion and debate as to whether or not this was a principle which we wanted to set ourselves and we thought we could live up to. But ministers were clear that it was. What was quite interesting was that when the strategy was launched, ministers were asked by the chair, who was somebody from the UK media, whether or not this was rather similar to the UK's so-called ethical foreign policy that Robin Cook promulgated. Actually, in fairness, he never used that term, ethical foreign policy, but it was the term that was used and bandied around. And Lord Malek Brown, who's a minister in the Foreign Office, said, this is not about an ethical foreign policy, this is about a healthy foreign policy, because a healthy globe makes sense from a foreign policy point of view. So I think the issue of setting out to do no harm is important. I think also the other principle that's important is the working with others, that this is a partnership. And again at that launch, Alan Johnson, who sits in the Cabinet, who's our Secretary of State for Health, said that this is not the UK trying to do it alone. In fact, it cannot. It requires a partnership with civil society, with other governments, with international organisations. The third important principle is about transparency. It's about recognising that actually there will not always be consistency and coherence, and we're very much committed to try to drive that forward. But when there isn't, we will share with others that. And I guess one last one I'd want to bring out, and that's the importance of the evidence base, because underpinning all policy and strategy needs to be evidence-based. It isn't always at the moment. Right across the globe, we want to see if we can do even better.
And following up on the theme around partnerships, one of the trends we've noticed in the United States is that an ever-increasing number of young people are interested in this field to make their professional lives. I'm wondering if you see a similar trend in the UK, and if you could just share a few words with any of our university or college students who might be listening about what you think the opportunities are going to be in this field in the future.
There are a significantly increased interest in this area from medical students. I know less about some of the other student groups, but certainly amongst both undergraduate and postgraduate medics and healthcare workers, there is real interest in this area, both in terms of what they can learn, but also in terms of what they can do overseas. The curricula for health professionals is increasingly crowded, and every year there's more and more that needs to be absorbed and learnt. And so this area, like any other area, has to battle for its space. But there is quite a substantial lobby from two agencies in particular, Medicine and Almata. And those two agencies are currently thinking about all sorts of ways that they can try and get greater global health education in their curriculum, and how they can have opportunities to work overseas. If there are those opportunities, they have to be strategic and well thought out, because they need to be we need to ensure that they are really benefiting the countries that they're visiting and that they aren't a burden. But I think that there are opportunities for win-win situations for both those developing countries and for students and postgraduates to take this work forward. And I think that the issue around the global health workforce crisis is one that students have a particular interest in. I think they also have a big interest in the area around ethical issues around health, particularly in the area of trade as well. And finally, there does seem to be an increasing interest around the area of climate change from these groups.
Thanks very much, and best of luck moving the strategy forward.
Thank you very much.
This has been a CSIS Global Health Policy Center podcast at www.smartglobalhealth.org.